any trouble getting on?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Eventually we got on, though.
Yep.
I just dialed right in.
Well, I guess you're
just working on my side now.
You're a preferred customer. Well, I am so excited to get together with this group every week because you all got the magic, and we're going to be really putting the screws to it this week in terms of let's make a living, and I think it's going to be terrific stuff. So without further ado, we do know that sometimes people are having trouble getting into this, and I have no idea why. But hopefully we'll be changing phone companies here pretty quick, and we'll get this thing squared away. And so Sharon's been giving us a good overview, I think, of what this is. This is week number 4 of our Pathfinder 1 class. This is a group of people who volunteered to be out in front of the rest of you and showing what they can do, what they've done, and putting themselves on the line to make sure that they get up and running. And we do this by having a roll call at first. That's an accountability for all of us. These statistics that they give us are going to be related to how well they performed this week in 3 or 4 areas. First one is that they did a wellness preview or went to a wellness preview. The second one is that they completed their video and audio assignments for their homework. The third is that they show up on this call. The fourth one is that they introduced the concept of NECN to 5 or more people during the last week, and those people had an opportunity to say yay or nay, it's time to move forward. So what Sharon's going to do now is she's going to go to our Pathfinder team. One of the things I think is important to reiterate for many of you who are in the listening gallery and for those of you who are on the team, what we're doing with this complete and incomplete is we're learning that we have to measure. It's been said by Dave Stoltzfus, who was an 18-year veteran of network marketing and the number one distributor in a company called Shackley for 16 years before he came into NECN, that the person who signs your paycheck will set your accountability. In this particular business, your paycheck really is signed by you. In other words, you're the one that has to do the work, get up in the morning every day and go after it. What we're doing is providing ourselves with a sense of accountability. How are we doing on what we were intending to do? We really only get credit for being in front of new people, and we've got to come back to that reality each and every week. When we measure that, there is no dishonor in an incomplete. It just simply says that it reminds ourselves what we did this last week wasn't working the way we'd like it to, and it throws into the pile of stats. So here's Sharon Lawman, our team leader here and helper. So would you give us a roll call all the way through?
Okay. J.W. Blankenship, complete.
Incomplete.
Incomplete. Okay. Rachel. Okay. Kevin and Britta.
Before I proceed too much, on ABC, that means you have to do like the ABC presentation or a big picture call. That's not just a text, correct?
Well, you're getting a feedback on that. So
okay.
Either that or it's my hearing aid. But the ABC means that you can use anything for the A. And this is a good clarification to do. A product can be the A. Any tape or video presentation can be the A. Somebody can review on the website as the A. They can sit across the table from someone doing ABC as the A. The A is the person doing the presentation or the material or the tool that's doing the presentation. The B is you as the distributor. The C is the person that you're introducing it to. So any one of those things where a person could have taken a review of NECN, even as short as 12 minutes, and had the ability to say, yep, I want more information, or nope, that's not for me, or yep, I'm in, let's go. So that's really all an ABC is during the course of the week.
All right, good. So, I understood that correctly. Then to my knowledge, unless people have viewed the website and don't know about it, I'm incomplete.
Okay.
All right, Audrea. Complete. Awesome.
Hey, Audrea.
Yay, you got a runner.
Okay, flex, Audrea.
Woohoo! Mike and Deborah Mercer.
Incomplete. Starting over.
Starting over.
Gonna do better.
Good. like to hear that. Jennifer.
Complete.
Awesome.
There you go, Jennifer.
Way to go.
Andrea Lynn Shipman. They've been having lots of weather electrical problems. TJ.
Complete.
Awesome. Man, Jerry, your team's whooping it.
Well, that's because we only have the highest quality beef on our team.
Hey, now, okay. Guys, step up to the plate. Next week, we got to give them a run for the money.
Oh, okay, great. Let's review a couple things. Sometimes I get a little far into this, and we don't get a chance to really talk about some of the great materials that we took a look at. And last week, we didn't get a chance to talk about probably one of my favorite people of all time, and that's Jim Rohn. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to just bounce back and see if somebody had a perspective on listening to Jim Rohn that was really insightful to you. You all can just jump in on this one, and then we'll bop into the ones we did this week. If your memory's too short for this, we have products for that.
No clarity. Kevin, I'll start off a little bit. So he has, I have notes in front of me, and the number of 12 is kind of his 12 points. I like the one about the set of the sail. That's one of my favorite ones, how it's not what happens that determines your life's future. It's what you do about it. You know, the same wind blows in all of us. It's the set of your sail that determines where you go. And there's one of the Dennis Williams has a DVD where he talks about that too. How the longer I live, the more I realize the impact, etc. And that was kind of a good space out of 2001 thing going on right there. But law of averages, I like what he talks about. He makes the point how in baseball, and I was reading Jack Canfield's success principles today, you bat 300 in baseball, you make millions of dollars, you're still out 7 out of 10 times, and the difference between, a minor leaguer and a major leaguer, it's just making that hit that one extra time out of 10. Law of reaping and sowing, that's a good one where he talks about, how keep sowing and the seed will eventually fall on good soil, but not to let some of the other things get you down. And I'll stop because it's not all about me talking forever. So,
Kevin, what I like is your engagement in this. You get fully engaged and you go to work and you study this, and it's awesome. So I appreciate your being on this call because you bring another level to it, and that is terrific.
Hey, Jerry, can we star 4 and get the game?
All right. Am I coming through clearly?
Yes, much better.
Okay, good. This last week I had an opportunity to talk to a few people, and we've got three people that got their completes done this week, and I'd like to highlight some of the things that they did that are working, because obviously they're people with maybe the same or more or less experience than other people out there, but they're finding that they can get all of these pieces done. So I want to start out with Audria. And Audria, you've now gotten yourself into a pretty good pace after several months of being in NECAN. You just keep coming to complete every week. What's some of the secrets that you do to stay on track?
I make sure, first of all, to talk to 5 people, at least. And I go out of my way to make sure that when I'm bumping into somebody, I talk to them. And a lot of times I don't really have to go out of my way. But there are days when you just got beat up the day before and you don't feel like doing it. So you just have to be persistent and continue to talk to people. But most of the time it's just fun and I like to talk to them. And then the other thing I think is just making sure that I meet with as many people as I can. If I can get them to do a follow-up meeting with me, that's the best thing.
And what do you do? here you are, Audrey, I'll pretty much all by yourself out in a community where there's not a lot of wellness previews in your area. There's not a bunch of people that meet on a regular basis. And here you are starting, and you got some kind of motor that drives you and gets you out of bed every morning. How do you keep that in front of you, and what is it that makes you just keep plucking away?
It's my belief in Nikan. It's that I know that this company is awesome, that their products are awesome. I know what the products can do for people, and it just gets better and better the more people that I introduce to the products and they start using them, and then they're feeling better, and then that just pumps me up even more. And it's awesome what Nikan's done for me personally. And so, you know, all I got to do when I feel, you know, beat up or something is just remind myself of how cool Nikan is, and it just automatically pumps me up and gets me going.
Well, that's an amazing drive all by yourself out there, and it will pay off. It's going to be amazing. TJ, what are you doing that's keeping you rolling now?
I'm kind of the same as Audra. You know, I just, when I bump into someone, I try to steer the conversation towards getting towards Nikan, and I've been pretty successful at it. I think the other thing is I just talk passionately about it, so they can, when I talk to someone, they can tell that it really means a lot to me, and therefore I think that's when my higher success is too, talking to people that they want to get more information because how passionate I am about it, and I'm not just coming with a jug of juice. You know, I'm coming with something that I am passionate about and believing in it, and there is a big company standing behind it.
Cool. And Jennifer.
Yes, sir.
You're coming in complete every week, or you are coming to the table complete every week. And as a result of that, you've got a ridiculously busy schedule. You're being a wife, which to my way of thinking takes a lot more than I got in a day anyway. And then you're doing Nikan, getting complete, and you're also a full-time chiropractic student, which for those people who haven't been to a medical-style school, when you went to school and they had 12 credits in order for you to be full credit, that means you sat class 12 hours a day, or 12 hours a week. And that's about what they ask a student to do in college. Jennifer, are you sitting in class more than 12 hours a week?
27 hours a week, not including labs.
Throw some labs on top of that, and then you got a little study at night, and you're coming in complete, or you're coming to the table complete every week. So what's up?
You know, really, it's been pretty easy for me so far. Sitting in a class with 101 people 9 hours a day, you really get to know them, and you get to hear different people's stories, and it's been a matter of, so far, just listening to what they're interested in. And there's come to be a few people in our class that aren't necessarily consultants, but we all get together and we talk about it, or one of them will go to a preview and they'll talk about it, and it gets everyone else interested, because you've got a group of people that are in their 20s for the most part together, and when somebody finds something to do besides going out and getting drunk on the weekends, everybody's interested in it. In addition to the possibility of making money on the side, so I can't give myself props. I really haven't had to get out and go cold prospecting. It's just been a matter of listening to the people in my class and whoever they might refer me to, or even just people in my church. I really haven't had to get out there, so thumbs up to Audria and TJ for getting out there on the cold prospecting market.
Well, that brings up a really interesting idea. Now, there are some people that you'll run across that you're being started as a leader of your team, and they're going to go... Well, you find them in the repair shop for our phones like this. You'll find people... one of the suggestions by one of the network marketing trainers was that you can find people by doing something weird like taking a class. At the local community college, for a few bucks, you can go and take a class. What are some of the topics that you might all just, if I threw that out as a group assignment here, come up with an idea for which classes would have people that might want to listen to Niken. What would some of you think would be a great class to take if you had the time to take a class to do that?
Do they have a nutritionals class?
I would bet you they do in, like, the evening stuff.
That would be a good one.
Yeah? What's another one?
Okay, sort of business or entrepreneurship class would be a good one.
Kevin, I love the way you think, man. And what this guy, Big Al, did was he went to a school or a class on a private business. And before the class was over, by the end of the quarter or semester or whatever they had 40 people in the class. He and one of his distributors signed up so they could learn more about small business. And by the end of the quarter, they had all 40 people in the class in their business.
Wow, man, that's a neat idea.
Another one is to go to weekend seminars. You can probably get some of them that will say they're free. Some of them will be seminars that cost you just $10 or something. And you go down and they'll have these major speakers from out of town that are telling you how to make millions in real estate or how to invest in the stock market or things like that. And if you've ever been to one of those, you can always glean a little bit from what they do. But look around at the people that are sitting around you. Those people are voraciously hungry for something that you've got, and that's the sense of how to become free in their lives, and they're looking hard for it. And just go during the coffee breaks in the middle, set up some appointments, and have at it. Can you all see how that might be a good place to be fishing?
Yep,
I do.
You don't have to qualify them. They already came to you. Pretty astounding. Awesome stuff. Okay, so with that, we have to go back to our definitions. I really sincerely believe that if we are coming to the table and having a hard time getting through those five during the course of a week, what it is that we have not properly defined what we're doing. And we have a wrong definition. So I want to clear this definition up, particularly for those people in the listening gallery who've been making some attempts to try to get their five contacts during a week and finding that to be difficult. Here's the whole thing. The common theme among our three people who got complete this week was they said, I'm just simply listening for what people need. And if they're... I've been listening to something Dave Johnson just sent out, a six-taped set from a trainer. It's a gal who was on welfare. She was homeless. She wasn't on welfare. She was working. She was working as a cocktail waitress, but she was homeless, overweight, gaining a pound a week. No self-esteem, totally miserable, been working at her network marketing business for a year and a half, and one day the triggers tripped into her head. Everything changed. Everything changed completely. And there are a few pieces I wanted to bring to this call today that I think will help many of you, because one of the first ones that she brought up was that you have to get you out of the way. This is so important. You are the message. You are the messenger, not the message. In other words, if people were to hear the Niken story clearly and be able to get fully informed about the Niken story, you're either going to get somebody that's going to come on board now, or they're going to buy into the philosophy enough to know how to help you in the long run or how to help themselves. Get you out of the way and let the story pretty much tell itself. What I mean by getting you out of the way, we've talked about this before, that the difference between anybody in Niken that is really working to try to get things going, or they've just been at it for a long time, they don't really get it tripped over, and the ones who pop right up and go to Royal Diamond, Royal Ambassador, is really the only difference is the way they think. Wouldn't you all agree with that?
Yep. Yes.
So if the difference is in the way you think, then it means you're getting in your own way. What if it didn't matter what you think, you just needed to take it to people and say, if you're looking for a vehicle to change the direction of your life, I have something you can review if it's if you choose to do that, then I will support you in helping you to get where you need to go. That's it. That's the definition. If we can listen long enough, as it talked about in our first book that we looked at, and then play back to people exactly what they told us, and just saying, I hear what you're telling me, and that is that you just have a tremendous frustration that you can't leave the industry you're in. You just don't have the time to get the education or the money, and you've got a family to take care of. All the things are just stuck, and you just feel like you're totally unfulfilled. You can't get yourself up and going. And really, the reality is, if nothing changes, nothing changes, and something's got to change in your life. You told me that you want that change. Now, what I want to do is to have you review something, and I think we could have a match with this, but that's completely up to you. So there's just a few things that we really need to do with that. Now, here's what happened with that lady. She essentially has now been training people who are signing up as many as 1,500 distributors in their organization per month. Wouldn't that be cool, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Probably isn't going to happen that fast in Kansas. It's more difficult. But here's what she did, and I think it was really powerful. Mike.
Yeah.
Are you the one that runs the wedding chapel?
Right.
When you meet somebody at the wedding chapel, do you do any interviewing with them at all?
Yeah.
Because you're the one that's performing the wedding ceremony, aren't
right.
you?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And do you find that difficult?
To interview with them?
Right.
Talk with them? No.
It just kind of makes common sense to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just flows. I've done it enough times that it's just easy.
And what are you looking for in that process?
What am I looking for?
Yeah, what are you trying to help those people discover about themselves by the questions that you ask?
Well, it's not so much as discover about themselves, it's that they come, they're looking to get married, and they're totally, they don't know anything that's happening. And what I really do is I walk them through what I'm going to do, and then they're looking at me like, how could I ever do that? And say, don't have to worry. I'm going to lead you on every word you have to say. You don't have to think about something. You don't have to come up with something. You don't have to memorize something. I'll ask you, do you take her for your wife? Will you love her with all your heart? And I lead them through it, and then I say, we're going to do it. And you'll just flow with me, and they do.
And, okay, so this is really cool. When you're asking them questions and you're helping to inspire them to believe that they can do what they do, do you see how that may have some overlap into what we do?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And so the biggest thing I've got to learn to do is to start using those above me to help me do it. Let them lead me through it.
Oh, okay. So you feel totally confident with which question follows which question and what direction follows which direction when you're leading a marriage ceremony, right?
I've done it so many times that if I get lost, my wife knows where I'm at.
And how did you figure that out in the first place?
How did I figure it out? Well, I wrote down the basic outline of where I wanted to go, and then I just, everything else is just fly by the seat of your pants. I just flow with it. That's the kind of person I am.
Okay, good. Now, if you were to write down what you want to accomplish in that process, when you're writing it down at first, what's the end goal of what you're doing?
Pronounce your husband, wife, kiss your bride. May I introduce to you Mr. and Mrs.
Okay, great. So now I want you to tell me what the end goal for that couple is when you tell them about Nikan.
Is to have them to want to either read more, find more, or sign up and let's do it. Get your list of names.
Okay, I'm going to go a little bit farther down the road. And you've now got them started on the marriage process. that's the last you're going to see of them, and then you send them out there as a mature adult ready to go on into their lives, right?
Well, it doesn't quite work that way. I have to really encourage them that when you run into some problems, and everybody does, if you need help, get some help. Don't wait till it's too late, but work through the problems as you go.
Here's where I'm going to try to draw a little correlation with what we do. If you could look down the road a little bit and say, my job is to, like a parent teaching a kid how to ride a bike,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to run along behind you holding on to the seat, and then when I let go, you're going to experience the tremendous sort of rush and exhilaration of you pedaling your own bike without falling over. This is great. And from that point forward, I'll be here for you to come back and ask questions to, but you're a grown up now. You can explore beyond the neighborhood. You can go out and really do stuff. Same thing you're doing when you do that in NECAN. At what point would that be?
At what point? That's whenever that would be at that point after they can ride by themselves without falling over, and you're not having to run down and pick them back up.
And then in NECAN, do you have a vision of when that would be?
After I have taken them through the program enough times where they can do it themselves, that I've helped them to introduce enough people, to talk to enough people, to listen to enough tapes, where that they begin to pick it up themselves and do it.
Okay, now we're going to get a little more specific on it so that you, the people listening, and by the way, Mike, thanks for letting me pick on you.
Oh, that's okay. I really expect to be an incomplete just to keep my mouth shut.
So what we do when we roll up to this is, let's say at that point you consider them to be fully capable of finding them and introducing people and showing them the basics, and they're ready to go. But if you're not clear on what that looks like, people will sense it all over you, and they won't tend to join you.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, because so much of our communication is nonverbal, people will pick up on you even if you're saying the right things if you don't sense the right things.
I think you're right.
So if you're then sitting across the table from somebody and you'd say, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to teach you how to apply for a home business. And you've already told me that you want something to fly that you could get a new or eventually replace your income. Is that right? And they'd say, yeah. In fact, you're so concerned with getting this going and so excited and so focused on it, do you have a cash reserve to make sure this thing gets off the ground? Most people don't bring that up. Did you know that?
Most people don't have it either.
Then they're not serious, right?
Well, I don't think that they could, that most people, I didn't have a cash reserve. We put it on a credit card.
But you had a credit card reserve or a business that could get you to pay the phone bills, to pay the gas to get from one place to the other. You can
mm-hmm.
book it and put it into your life. So really what we have to tell people is, look, if you don't bring enough provisions on this hike to the mountaintop, it's going to get ugly about halfway up. Now, here's an old saying that you guys can all remember that I think is real important. I've said it before, I think, but more people will tell you no because you make it sound too easy than will ever tell you no because you make it sound too difficult.
I believe that, and I believe the more that you put the challenge out, that the more that they will be wanting to rise to it.
So if we're describing, then we're going to get you to a point where you can plug into something that absolutely works if you're willing to work it. I'm going to tell you what you need specifically, and we're going to run you from step to step until you're up and running. Now, would you rather follow somebody like that or someone who says, well, I can sign you up, and I suppose you probably have some intuition about what this will be? If you try to call me, I'm kind of scared to death of you, and I'll actually be hiding in the back bathroom. but I think you could probably do this. And that's what most people imply when they sign somebody up, because they're just not confident about how you would run it through. Well, you've already brought it up. You said, okay, what if I take these people to other folks on the call, make a phone call and say, want to introduce you, this is Mike, he's taking a look at some stuff. And that at that point, you're going to be surprised sometimes when you can say, my job, here's what you can do. A brand new person, you can take them, they don't know anything. What they need to ask somebody to do is, if you're willing to take a look at changing the direction of your life, I'm going to plug you into a group of people that I work with, and together we can help you get wherever it is that you need to go. If I don't have the answers, then we know that the network that we have is going to have the answers. This thing has done it for so many people before. I'm with you. Let's lock on and get going. See, what we're doing is we're constantly bringing it back and thinking about them and how we're going to supply that.
Mm-hmm.
So really, I think for all of us, keep in mind when you're going to let them go. So I'm going to flip over a little bit to, let's go back to Jennifer. Jennifer, when do you feel like, in your mind, somebody is going to be ready to let them rip in NECAN if you sign them up? What things will you have accomplished to get them there?
What things will I have accomplished to get them there?
Yep. Then you can say, okay, they're ready to go.
I think that I've provided them with enough information to want more, and I think that I feel like this. I've actually just learned from my first consultant tonight. I feel like she'll get up and take off because she's learned a lot from what I've said, and she hears me talking about doing three ways with you, Jerry, all the time. And she's like, well, when can I get on a call with Jerry and he can tell me how magnetics work? So I think that just in seeing that networking with you, she feels confident that she can call you and ask you the same questions that I'm asking. She realizes that there really is a network and she's not trying to do this on her own, and I think she will succeed because of that.
Okay, good. So your definition of somebody who can function is somebody who knows some phone numbers and can plug in and say, I don't know.
Right.
Here's an interesting, and you're going to become a physician, so here's an interesting thing that I heard one time and really stuck with me, because we can all try to have the answers to all these things in life, but the Canadian Association, sort of akin to our AMA, every year votes on the one physician within the organization they'd be most likely to take their own families to. And it turns out that the guy they kept voting in for like 10 years in a row wasn't even in the top 70% of his class. And the consensus was universal across the voters, and this guy just got huge numbers of votes. And you'd normally think they'd want the one that was the most brilliant and had the most background and did all those other things. But the universal opinion of why this guy was chosen was that he would say, I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I got some people in that I've worked with before that are experts in that, and I'm going to get that answer and get back to you. Can you all see how that would inspire your trust in someone? Much
yes.
More than somebody who keeps flipping out the right answers all the time?
Definitely.
So what Jennifer is implying here is, I got my job down. I love this. It makes total sense to me, and here's my passion. And I know how to get you whatever you need to do to change, and that is to plug into a network of people that represent. It's like going to the Library of Congress. Anything you want to know is in here. Just learn to plug in. Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Amen.
Kevin, what's your sense of when you let somebody up and fly?
From a specific standpoint, they've seen most of the important tools that we use, understand them, you know, Dennis Williams. They've seen a business preview there, be it Sherry Dorsey on tape or in person. Then they get the ignition sequence launched. We've gone through that. We've had our sponsorship meeting, and we enroll them in Pathfinders 1. And at that, and even in Pathfinders 1, that's still kind of a guidance point. But you know, when, if you're a P1 graduate and you're silver and you're going to P2, that's really when you're really starting to you're really beginning to kind of fly on your own. Even though P2, of course, has the leaders help train you further, and you're never truly like alone. Because, you know, even Rick and Terry, you know, look to Danny and Char, Dennis Williams, and people like that for advice and stuff. So we're never truly alone, but, you know, definitely when they go through those tools that they mentioned in Pathfinders.
Do you all get a sense that you could follow Kevin?
Yes.
And the reason is that Kevin knows a stepwise progression of where he's going and what he's doing. He's just real clear on it. It's exactly following what we've been teaching in this Pathfinder 1 checklist and all the way through the process. Why is that the most efficient? Because it's a common language, and you keep coming back to it, and it's done the same way. And anybody who does the same thing over and over again, and this came out of our book this last week, remember the story about the song with...
There, he just started the song and everybody could play it. He held the microphone out. Everybody can play it.
Exactly. Audria, why don't you throw in on that? When do you have a sense of when somebody's ready to go on their own?
Well, it's also that level of comfortability, that level of comfort that they have, and confidence that they have in themselves to be able to speak to others.
Now, Audrey, have you had people in your life where you just knew that even if you were just starting something, if you stood next to them, you didn't have to worry about it. They had it covered. Maybe it was in your work in radio. Was there somebody that you just, okay, we got this whole group of people together, at least Bob over there, I know that guy's got it covered.
Oh yeah, you mean, did I know that I had people I could follow?
Yeah, well, that if you were, let's say you were putting together, you were the leader of the team, and you just knew that, okay, I gotta have five people here all working to try to get this thing done. There are a couple of them that are kind of weak, and this one over here needs some. But there's one person that I totally don't have to worry about. They'll do it better than I could do by myself. Have you ever been in that kind of situation?
Oh, sure. You know, there's different people that you know you need to sit next to and coach, and other people that you know that they're pretty much on their own, and you can trust what they're going to say and what they're going to do, and that they're going to be able to do what needs to be done.
Now, did you know, and this is pretty interesting, that we can pretty much create that in people by the way we think about them, even if it's by accident? Here's what I mean. There was a class of students that were going from the second grade to the third grade, and the school had more trouble with these kids. They were low achievers. They had huge family problems. So they were completely disrespectful. They were out of control monsters. And in that whole situation, the teacher, or they gave these kids a test score that somebody came up with for assessing behavior problems in kids. The teacher that came in that year was new and got a list of these kids, and they put them all in one classroom because they were so incredibly disruptive they couldn't be in the other classrooms with the other kids. When the teacher got them that year, unbeknownst to her, well, she saw these numbers that were represented next to the kids, and she didn't know she knew what those numbers meant. She thought it was their IQ, and they scored very high values in dysfunction, but they were, if you put them on the IQ scale, it looked like she had the most brilliant class that was ever assembled in the history of America. As a result, she began to teach those kids as if they were super bright kids. she began to try to respect them and to honor them and to tell them how much she was amazed at the qualities that they had. And it didn't take but 3 months, and those kids outscored by double on the national average test scoring for their school over the kids that were in the other classes. Because of the expectation of the person who was there. And if we fully expect that people can do something, and we know that they got it in their hands, and we can trust them, and we let them know that, you watch how fast they will rise to the occasion. Here's an example. If you all know you're so new in Nikan, and you see somebody who's a pretty good presenter, and you don't know if you can present a wellness preview, but you go to, let's say, TJ, and say, TJ, I just saw you working with those kids at that gymnastics studio, and the parents, you can present anything. I have a problem with this stuff. We've got to get this thing off the ground, and I got this CD from somebody back in Washington who's doing a presentation. Do you think you could preview this and actually come out with a presentation for next week? That expectation, TJ would jump all over it because he doesn't know not to, right?
Exactly.
And yet we could also cripple him by saying, well, you got to be a silver in order to do a presentation in our area. And you have to have so much activity done. Well, he'd go, oh, geez, I guess I better sit down and pay attention. There must be something to this a lot harder than it appears on the surface. So really what we want to do now this week, as you go out into your week, is to imagine exactly what some of these people have been saying. When do you know that someone's ready to go? Really, if they're willing to do what you're willing to do now, you got somebody who's going to crank it. Is there anybody on this call who would travel over 50 miles to go to a Nikan event if you knew there was a big one coming up in your area?
Yep.
Sure. By definition, I have to.
And would you get on a call every Monday night and listen to another call and do some homework every week because you knew you wanted to make something out of yourself?
Sure.
And would you get a hold of some technology and put it in your house so you could all get better or move forward and become something?
Yep.
Then really, if you find somebody who would do all those things, wouldn't you all agree that you'd have somebody who is a leader in their own right?
Yeah. Right.
And they could represent with credibility anything that they chose to feel was important in their lives, and they would be credible and they would make the thing happen. So if you start with the end in mind, we'll jump back to Mike now. He's going to have some people who are married and they're driving down the road, and he's now released them with full confidence that this was created by God, let no man rent asunder, that it's made the right way, and if they handle it and behave themselves and do some things and keep checking and working at it, it'll work and it'll be an amazing, wonderful, blessed thing. And the same thing occurs in our Nikan business. If we can just assume, if y'all just jump in and learn, there's a very clear set of sequence that we can go through. And I love the way that Kevin has been laying this out. Just get in. We're going to ask you what you want in the long run because it's so important to what we do. And we want to keep coming back to, what do you want? What kind of freedoms are you looking for? What are the things that are important to you? Then what you do is you review the videos and the audios. And then what you do is you just decide that you're going to go to the events. You're going to get the products and use the products, and you're going to bring us to people. That's really essentially what we do. You all feel like if somebody went through a full P1 group, that you could pretty much assume they've gone to Humans Being More training, they've gone through this group, they've gotten their stuff, that from that point forward, it really, their success is based on whether they want to or not. Right?
Yep.
Right.
Their failure is going to be based on whether they want to or not. And it's not you. You just crank them up and then tell them they're awesome and provide them with the roadmap to go on the trip. That's really what we're looking for with the ABC guide, is to just ask somebody, do you or anyone you know, are they looking for something that will change their lives? I want you to review this. Let me know. I can call you back and just say, hey, do you want to know more or are we done? That there is counts. Now, we just listened to a phone call by Rick and Terry, Terry Latham down in Texas, and we talked about page, the follow-up page. Does anybody use that on a regular basis, page 34? Or not, I've got to get my stuff here. It's page, in our ignition sequence guide, it's page 34.
Right.
And does anybody use that?
I probably need to.
And why do you say that? Have you run across situations where you wish you would have?
I've run across situations where I've talked to a lot of people and do very little follow-up. Let it get past me.
Ah, let's throw this out. Does anybody have a gut-level feeling why someone might do what Mike is doing? Because guess what? That was my big... And I tend to fall back into that myself. I'll prospect lots of people and get them started, but won't follow up. What are some of the things that you might see that are common about a person like that? What's their roadblock? Why is it hard to follow up? Audrey,
well, a lot of times it's trying to do too much at one time.
Okay, wait. Yeah, JW.
Yeah.
Trying to do too much at one time.
Yep.
So you've got, if you were working with somebody that said that, what are you imagining trying to do too much at one time? You mean they...
Trying to do 15, 20 presentations a week and then not able to follow up on them.
Ah, okay. So how would you correct that?
Do 10.
Or?
And stay with them or find the time to follow up with the 20 and manage your time better.
Has anybody ever found that you were not able to follow up because you did too many contacts?
No, not me. Not me. I just got too many other things pushing that I let something else take priority rather than following them up. And a lot of times it's plain old fear.
Tyranny of the urgent. Yep, exactly. And that's a huge point. JW, I think there is a time when I've visualized that a lot. I don't want to go out and just go crazy recruiting people. Because what if I get so many that I can't follow up and be true to what my follow-up is going to be? And I never found where I could run it too hard. Because what I had to do out of panic is I'd start doing group things. And I think...
Group? How would you do group? What do you mean?
Buy them all over.
If you had 15 people that said, I want to go to the next step during the course of a week... And you were thinking, okay, there's no way that I can get to each one of these people individually. This is a leverage position, and you could call up two or three or four of them and say, this thing is flat cooking. I mean, you guys don't want to miss this, but the problem is I just plain got too many prospects and too many people that are taking a look at it. Would you mind teaming up with five or six other people at the same time to come and take a review of each one of the steps?
Good idea.
That puts you in a power mode, but that creativity happens because of the need of having those people out there. And that, oh man, that's good stuff because they see it happening all around them. It's not anymore, it's no longer an if, it is. It's going nuts.
You're involving them and each other.
Right. So now let's jump back real quickly on Mike's thing, because I'm hearing it. Y'all hear that Mike has got... Mike, you'd just soon get rid of the fear, wouldn't you?
That's right.
What do you think... Why don't you have fear bringing it up the first time?
Oh, I think you do. I think you just overcome it.
Well, you seem to be able to do that first part where you bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fascinating to them?
But the first time you're going to give them information, or they may tell you, they may reject you, but after you give them information, if they don't come back asking, then you have the fear of rejection, and they've got your tape, they've got your book, they've got your CD, and you've got to you've got to follow them up and say, hey, man, did you get a chance to listen to that? If, or if you listen to it, yes or no, and go. And there's just, I'm looking at it and saying, because I realize I've given some things out and I haven't followed them back up. And I'm saying, wait a minute, that's not a good deal.
Well, then here's what this gal said on the tape, and I thought this was magnificent. Sometimes you just have to, before I get into that, sometimes you have to call your upline and say, I'm too far out. I know I should have followed up within 48 hours, but now it's 4 weeks. They still got my stuff, and I'm afraid to talk to them. What do I do? Well, then what we might say is, what do they have? Oh, they got my body energizer. Great. What I want you to do.
I need it.
yeah, you basically call up and say, I've got a friend who just got in a car wreck. You know, you find a friend who's been in a car wreck or somebody. You just say, hey, you want to see a really cool thing? It's got balls that flip in two directions at the same time. You're going, really? Then you want to see it? Well, I suppose. Then you call the other people up and say, I got somebody that needs to see that thing. And I know that it was something you were going to be using, something you were on the track with, but I just got to get it moving. So we can give you strategies like that. But here's what this lady did, and I think this was just brilliant what she did. She was cruising along a year and a half, didn't have anybody in her network marketing business. Not one person went past first base, and she was doing as many as 30 contacts a week. Nobody getting in. And then she had this epiphany, this revelation. When she was working retail in the store, she was selling dresses. And she kept trying to get in at Nordstrom, and she was trying to get in at Macy's and the high dollar places where you got paid more for doing that. She knew she could probably do that. But she was always rejected because she didn't look the part. So she ended up working at the low dollar places. And she says, I just wasn't a high dollar worker. I just wouldn't fit into that environment. And she said, because I was prejudged. So what I began to imagine was that my network marketing company was a place where I could get my dream job. And in her dream job, it was being the person sitting across the desk and saying, show me what you got. You prove to me that what you're doing is you're ready to go and you're here for a reason and you want to get at it. Because I'm going to be the one that gets to choose whether or not you get to come or whether or not you stay. She wanted to be the human relations person who made that decision. And when she began to perceive that her business was to say to people, I have the keys to an unbelievable future for you, but you have to choose to do what it takes to get there because we're not giving this thing away for free. And her whole life changed overnight. It was the perception of what she had to offer to them and that she was not begging people to make her believe that she was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you were in that position, can you see how it's a whole lot easier to get your stuff back? And one of the things that she would say is, now we're going to be reviewing you over the next short period, and we've got a lot of people to go through. If you can't, or we're going to find out if you've got what it takes to be a leader and to run some things on your own, as you said you've wanted to do. So in the next 48 hours, we need you to review this information. If you do, then I will allow you to move on to the next step. If you do not, I'll be happy to give you my phone number, and when your timing comes right, you can call me. There's a whole different level of conviction, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we've come to the end of our call this week. This next week, we're going to come back, and you're going to, we will have wrapped up the end of the month. Several things are going to happen. Number one, I want you to send in your values, how many dollars were created in your group this last month. And we're going to add those together and give you an average for the team. And we're going to look at how effective are the things that we're doing at producing sales volume. From that, we can analyze, are we being effective in getting done what you're going to get paid for? And we're going to come ready to rock with that this next week. The homework assignment for this next week, Sharon, would you blow that out for us?
It's going to be, let's see, chapters 9 through 12? No. I'm a week.
5 through 8.
5 through 9. 5 through 9. And the second part of the DVD, the Ignition Sequence Guide DVD, and the process. So chapters 5 through 9. And Michael Klaus, Learning the Business One Story at a Time. And the second part of the Ignition Sequence DVD and the process.
The other thing that we're going to do is we're going to split you up into your teams. And as I look at these teams, they actually rack up to be some of the strongest cross teams that we've ever had within our groups.
Mm-hmm.
It'll just be up to you all to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Any last questions? All right, let's be on those homework. Kevin, just an amazing job. JW, we know that you're ready to explode across the horizon. My three people, Jennifer and Audria and TJ, you have now shown them what being the lead stallion's all about. And so let's make so much dust that they're going to have to run to catch you.
And so next week, Jerry, they've all been asking me, next week they're going to get split up into their teams, right?
Yes, you'll be in two teams of three and one team of two.
Uh-huh.
Those teams after that, you'll be making up the names for your team and all that. So the next week, by the time you come to this call, you will be broken up into your teams and ready to rock and roll. And let's light up the night sky. So thanks a lot for being here.
Are you going to tell us the teams next week, or are you going to email us before?
Yeah, we can probably email them, because I'm only one person away from really cinching down what I want. So
okay.
We'll just go ahead and email them out to you.
Great.
And then you'll contact each other back and forth. And when you come next week, let's just do this. We'll make sure that you get the information on your teams, and I want you to choose a name before you come to next week's.
All right? Great.
Jerry?
Yo.
Hey, man. I don't have any phone numbers of any of the team members. I don't know if that happened before me.
Oh, is that TJ?
Hey, TJ.
Okay. Sharon, you want to get that covered for us?
Yep. TJ, I'll email that off to you.
Okay, perfect.
And
we need that as well, Sharon. This is Audria.
Hello? Yeah.
Audria needs it too.
You need it too. Okay.
Send it to me also.
Okay, so Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have you. And we're gonna perform an ancient ritual if you stumble on the way to the call this next time.
Oh,
always
something exciting and wild and messed up.
And he's a pastor.
It'll change you, man.
A couple of three-way phone calls and Mike, your life will be totally different.
That's what we're going to have to do.
Okay.
Okay, well, let your little light shine.
Thanks, Jerry.